5, please. Last Sunday, I began a series of grace messages, beginning with regenerating grace as our first of 9. Different characteristics, you might say, of God's sovereign grace. Each character relating to the electing grace found only in Jesus Christ our Lord, who is the giver of grace. You may recall a message not too long ago that I entitled Unmerited Favor. So let us forever keep in our minds, grace is given, not earned. Nothing about you can make you deserving of it. Nothing you have can be used to purchase it, and nothing you can do will make you worthy of earning it. Grace is grace. If it could be earned, then it would no longer be grace. It would be something that we deserve. If it could be bought, then it would no longer be grace because somebody could buy it no matter what they deserved. You see, grace is something that God is. In reality, grace is a character of God. For He is gracious to those for whom He has loved from before time began, before the foundation of the world. And gracious is God to this people for His Son's sake, and for His Son's sake alone. God is merciful rather than pouring out His wrath on these He calls my people. He poured it out on His only begotten Son, the very wrath that they deserve, not because we chose to follow Him, but because He chose us and predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus the Lord, before the foundation of the world. You don't need to turn there, but in Romans 8, 29 and 30 through 30, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Again, in Romans 9, we see in 16 through 18, it says, so then is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will, and whom he will be, he hardeneth. Electing grace. If you were here last week, you may recall it was suggested that I have a tenth message on grace and use electing grace as one by itself. Electing grace is part of every message of God's. Grace is election. We just read where the Lord hardens who He will and has grace or mercy upon whom He will. That's God's word, folks. That's not mine. I'm not making it up. It's not an interpretation of John Reeves. That's God's word. It says it plainly. Yet the world will ignore that word. So our next character that we want to see of this thing called grace, this action called grace, grace our Lord, is what we call justifying grace. We saw regenerating grace last week. This morning I want to talk about justifying grace. Are you with me in Romans 5? Let's begin by looking at verse 1, shall we? It would help if I was there with you. Therefore, being justified by faith, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace through God with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before we go any further, I want to take a couple of look back a couple of verses into chapter 4, and let's look at verse 18. We're talking about Abraham here. Now remember, Abraham was promised to have a son. He would have a child, and through that child, the world would be blessed. Through that child, eventually we'd come all the way down, and our Lord Jesus Christ would be born in Bethlehem. A child of promise is what he's called. And here Abraham is 100 years old. His wife is up there with him. Long past childbearing. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. That's the promise. That's the promise our Lord gave him. According to that which was spoken, see, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Now, isn't that exactly the same kind of promises that we look to? Our Lord says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Is that not a promise we can count on? Where two or more are gathered in my name, I shall be in the midst. Is that not a promise we can count on? I shall never leave you nor forsake you. Is that not a promise that we can stand on? Let's continue. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. He believed. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised he was also able to perform, even though he and his wife were of years, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. He believed God. Whosoever believeth in me shall have everlasting life. That's what our Lord says, right? Not as it was, continuing verse 20, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. For all of God's elect, all the way down through time, we're reading God's word to us. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Remember the day you believed? Did you just get smarter? Was it all of a sudden, a light comes on and I'm a smarter person now. No. God did a work in your heart. It was God who gives us the belief to believe in his Son. Continuing on, who was delivered for our offenses? This Son, this one who was delivered on the cross, who shed his own blood for our sins, who has the power to cleanse us completely clean, as white as snow, he says. He says that. I know it's hard for us to remember and believe that, especially when we look in the mirror and we see the sin in ourselves. But in the Father who sits in heaven, he sees us as clean and white as his Son because of that blood that was shed on the cross. It's on the doorpost of our hearts now. Just as Israel was to put it on the door of the post of their door in Egypt, and death passed them by. God himself has put his blood on our doorpost of our heart. He deals with the hearts of men and women. And he put his own blood on those posts. And death will pass us by. He who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You see the grace of justification? It's all about Christ. He's the one who justifies. Now let's go back to verse 2 of chapter 5. This one, Jesus, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. This one who we have peace through God, our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. We got some serious stuff going on around here, folks. A $14,000 heater no longer works. It's been around. Now, you gotta, for you who don't know, these heaters and air conditioners went in over 37 years ago, and they were only made to work for 25. That alone shows the blessings of God right there, doesn't it? You know, they're going out on us now. We've got some pretty big things, trials and tribulations we're going to have to deal with here. But our Lord, He supplies everything. We got nothing to worry about. He's going to take care of it for us. Might have to put a couple of extra coats on. That'll be a way of taking care of it, huh? We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. I know people who have gone through severe work shortages in just the last few years and barely gotten by. And I've heard them turn to me and say, but God will get me through it. The Lord will get us through it. And even when we go through those times of trials, it works patience in us. Patience to rely on our Savior for provision. I need that more than anybody. This sinner before you needs that a lot. I get a little anxious and try to get things done on my own many, many times. Thankfully, I have brethren that say, whoa, John, hang on a minute. Let's take another look at that. I love you, brothers. I don't know what I'd do without you. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. We see how our Lord works through these things after we've gone through them, and oh, the hope that we have. Even when we watch the government falling apart and lies and all the stuff that we see going on, all the murders and all that stuff that's going on in the world around us, we still have peace knowing that our Lord works all things out for our good. And a hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Do you see the justifying grace? Much more than being now justified by His blood. By His blood. We shall be saved from the wrath through Him. Now turn back over to chapter 3 of the same book. You might want to mark your spots there. We will come back to it. Did you hear what we read in the scripture? Do you recall what we read there? In Psalms 110, verse 3, it says, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." Now, who do you think put that scripture there specifically for today? I don't look through to see what the scripture reading is for today. I had no idea. "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." We didn't have any will before. Our will was wicked. Our nature was evil. All mankind, women, children, men, come into this world born dead in sin and trespasses and sin. That's our nature, sin. We must be made willing to come to the Lord, or we will never come to the Lord. We are justified by faith. Justified by His blood. How does this relate to justifying grace? We must understand what it is to be justified. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? The heart is desperately wicked, right? All have come from their mother's womb speaking lies, right? If these words are true, and they are for sure, then all have earned the wrath of God, for all have sinned against our Maker, right? To be justified, one must have paid their debt. That's what justified means. And the wages of sin is death. And those who are not of God will spend an eternity of torment and anguish trying to pay that very debt, yet never, never succeeding. In Ephesians 2:4, verses 4 and 5, we read, But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, given us life, together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. To be justified means to have your debt paid. In other words, as Pastor Gene likes to put it, just as if I'd never sinned. That's the power of God's blood. Our blood doesn't have that kind of power. It doesn't have any power to wash it away. It's tainted. It's tainted with the sin that we come into this world with. Yet He who knew no sin walked this earth for His people perfectly, fulfilling the law completely. Everything He did satisfied the Father. Everything He did pleased the Father completely, even the death of the cross. It pleased Him. It pleased Him to strike His Son. By God's grace, some will be saved. He will send a Savior to save His people. He will send His only begotten Son to be a propitiation, a payment, the complete and full payment of said debt. Are you with me in chapter 3? Look at verses 19 through 26. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and that all the world may become guilty before God. All the world stands guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be what? That means there's nothing you can do. There's no righteousness in you anyway. But if you think you are, even if you think you are, it can't help it. There is no justification by the law. By the law is the knowledge of sin. That's what the law is. It teaches us what sin is. It teaches us that we need a Savior. It teaches us that we need someone to justify us before God because we can't do it ourselves. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law of the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified freely by His grace, there we go. Justifiable grace. Being justified by His grace. It was by His grace that He went to the cross. You know, God didn't have to do that. He could have just started over. But He's a gracious and merciful Lord. And He's loved the people from the beginning. He's loved you, Mike. He's loved you and your wife and all of you. Not the whole world. He says, I pray for them, Lord. I pray for them that Thou hast given me. I pray not for the world. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. People like to change that around too. Oh, that doesn't mean he hated Esau. It just means he loved him a little bit less. God has never done anything that isn't perfect. His hate is perfect and his love is perfect. That's something we can count on, folks. Because if he loved us, we are perfect in him. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, there's our payment, through faith in his blood. Trusting in his blood, that the blood that was shed is powerful, for it is the blood of God that was shed on that cross. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. There you go. Justifying grace. In John 3:16 we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Redemption is to those who believe in him. Now that does not, this believe in him, that does not mean that you believe he exists. It means to believe everything about him. His whole word. He says, I have a people I have chosen unto myself. You need to believe that. The world won't believe that he has an elect. They believe that he loves everybody. But that's not what his word says. I just quoted to you a minute ago from John 17. Redemption is to those who believe in him. To believe his word, for he is the written word, and it's all about him. He himself expounded on the road to Emmaus the scriptures, the things concerning himself. The devils know that Christ Jesus is real. They just don't believe his word. And neither does the world around us. And to believe his word, God must be gracious with the gift of faith. You see how it works? You see that? God gets all the glory, including his works in giving us faith. Our faith, yeah, it's our faith, but it's his works that we have it. By his grace, he sent his Son to save all of those whom he had given to him before the world was ever created. Because of his grace, we are justified through the blood of his righteous Son. Our debt is paid in full. God poured out his wrath on his Son, the just. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. And he cannot punish sin twice. That would be unjust. We read in Romans 8 this morning, again I'll read 32 through 34, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? This is God's word. It is God that justifieth. Grace is God. He is grace. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, also to make intercession for us. Oh, how great it is, because I get up every morning and mess up. So I was just reading the other day, I don't remember where it was. I think it's in there on the freezer in the dining room. It goes, let's see if I can remember how it goes. Something about, Lord, so far I've had a good day. So far everything's going well. I haven't done this and I haven't done that and everything's going good. Now I'm about ready to open my eyes and get out of bed. I'm going to need your help from here on out. That's something John Reeves needs to pray every morning. I need to think those very thoughts every time I get out of bed. Yet I have one who is making intercession for me right here. That's what it tells me. One who has justified me before the Father. One who has made me just as His Son is. Who looks upon me just as if I'd never sinned. Remember our opening text? Back in verse 5. What did it say in verse 8? But God commendeth His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved through the wrath through Him. So again, we see it comes down to this point. The very point that we read in John 3:16. Whosoever believeth. Do you believe God's word? Not just part of it. Do you believe all of God's word? In the 10th chapter, you don't need to turn there. In the 10th chapter, verse 12, it says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But notice what it says next. Notice what it says next. "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good news." But it doesn't stop there. It continues, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Some have heard and turned away from it." Who makes us to differ? Amen. Christ and Christ alone. We are justified by His blood and His blood alone. "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith to the Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." There we go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this, but my Father in heaven." Look back at verse 4 for just a moment, and we'll bring this to a close. Chapter 4. "What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly." There you go. Justifying grace. His faith is counted for righteousness. We have no righteousness of our own, but if we have that God-given faith, the faith to believe the Word of God, and the Word of God is about Christ Jesus and His blood that was shed on the cross for His people. If we have that faith, then God has been gracious to us. For faith is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen.